And just thankful for everybody's efforts. We had a good visitation crowd that came out for Saturday too as well. We had a good group that came out for that. And I want to encourage you with the passing out of the invitations and gospel message to the Lord. I was trying to figure out something while ago in my head, and I realized it was 6 o'clock prayer time, and I stopped, and when I got done praying, I had figured out that I had forgot what I wanted to figure out. I don't know if that ever happened to you, but I figured it out. Anyway, I stumbled around here talking to myself for a little bit, and talking with Brother Carl, I realized that what I was wanting to get is more tracks. The new track that we got in, the one here with the church on the front. And I started thinking about this. If each one of us passed out just 5 gospel tracks a week, 5 a week, in a year, each one of us would have passed out 560. 260, Brother Carl? Our math was off. 5 times 52 is 260? All right. Kenley, you do correct me on that? Anyway, however many, 260 is still a lot. And you say, well, where can I leave them? Well, gas station, inside the pump for the next person. They have to get gas, so they have to pull it out. On the counter at the bathroom, when you leave a tip, leave the track with it. And then after a couple of weeks or months of doing that, you will get boldness that before you know it, you'll reach in your pocket and you say, I'd like to invite you to the house of God. You know, over the 4 and some odd years that we've been here, that's how we've seen increase here at the church, where we went from that group that was here to what we had this morning. It's because of outreach. You know, when you reach out to the community and be a witness like the Bible commands us to be, dear friend, I'm going to tell you, you find out God is thrilled with you. And that's not to be ashamed of the gospel message, dear friend, inviting folks to the place of worship where you attend. Be proud of that. You know, put it on display. Put the place where you worship God at out there. And you just see God blessing. Then, you know, on Wednesday nights now we're having running up close to 90, 95, most of the Wednesday nights now this year. We've been up around 90. And that's just a blessing. That's because you as a church are interested in what's going on here. And so it spreads. People see you're interested. Well, let me check it out and see what I say. I've had some friends come and they just have not stayed. Well, that's up to God. It's not up for us to get them to stick here. We do our part and we'll allow God to place them in. Wouldn't it be this here? Just think about this. Wouldn't it be just an awful thing for you to lead somebody to the Lord and they end up joining the church up in Orlando somewhere? That'd be horrible. You get to heaven and God say, shame on you. What'd you do that? No, He wouldn't do that. No, it is not about building an empire here. We want to reach people with the gospel to increase the family of God and allow God to build our church. And so let's stay faithful to that. Did everybody get a church calendar? Can I, Clay, get a help here? Get anybody that didn't get one there. We'll go over that church calendar real quick for the month of May. And we will be in Genesis chapter number 50 this evening when we get over into the Word of God. But we had a wonderful time already in the house of the Lord this morning. I really had liberty, enjoyed the baptismal service there with Sister Clatchy. What a blessing to see her. She came to me last week. She said, Pastor, my hip's better after that surgery, and I think I'm ready. When can we schedule a baptism? And I said, well, right after Wednesday night. We'll do it Sunday morning, this morning. And She said, I'll be there ready to go. And what a blessing that was to be able to baptize Sister Clatchy, fresh babe in the Lord. Been saved less than a year. Probably no more than 48 years young. There's no way she's older than 48. Just a blessing to see folks get saved. All right, everybody got a calendar? Okay, first thing we see on there is the second will be visitation time, 6:45. We'll gather here at the church. Remember, it's the first and third Thursdays and second and fourth Saturdays unless something else is there. And you'll notice that here. Then on the 5th, we have the ice cream social fundraiser. And there's a sign-up sheet over here for items that you can bring so you can purchase back. So if you want some caramel cream, you sign up for that, and we'll let you set the fee for it. Nuts, whatever's on the list, butterscotch, it's over there. Sign up on it. That's for the ice cream social fundraiser. That's on the 5th after church. We'll hang around here and have some ice cream. And the kids probably eat some ice cream, maybe play some volleyball out there. And then on the 9th, you'll notice that the Mother's Day banquet decorating teams will be there. The Fellowship Hall, 7 o'clock. And then the Mother's Day banquet at 1 o'clock on the 11th with Sister Green. Sister Green and her husband her husband's passed away, but if I remember correct, they have been in the ministry 43 years. Planted several churches are still going on. You got a treat coming up there. You'll enjoy Miss Green there. And then the 12th is actual Mother's Day, the Mother's Day banquet. Sister Barbara, if you get those flyers for us again. Thank you, ma'am. Sorry to put you on the spot like that. Fast Day, the 13th. Visitation, the 16th, again that Thursday. And then the Soldiers of the Youth Rally on the 7th, that Friday. Now, you see there's some things in there that's going to create a little bit of havoc. But if we work hard on Wednesday night after church, we can decorate the inside of the church for the Soldier of the Cross Youth Rally. We're looking to have somewhere around 300 youth here at the church. So we get all the decorations up inside. And then Friday, if you are available and could come Friday early, you could come help us over in the Fellowship Hall and get the Fellowship Hall cared for on that Friday before they get here about 7. So we're looking for a good day on that. And then on the 25th, you have visitation, 9:45. You see on that 11th, we didn't have visitation that second Saturday. That's community outreach where we go into the community and try to reach people with the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. And so we didn't have it on the 11th, but we have it on the 25th. And also on the 25th, there will be a Rent a Teen Saturday. There you can rent one of our teens, one of the youth, for that Saturday and work them until they cannot move. Return them back to their parents, not back to the church. You'll have to return them back to their parents. And then you can donate whatever you feel led of the Lord, not to the teen, to the youth fund for them. It will go to that youth. And if you feel worthy to donate to them, to the youth fund, and slide a little bit under the table to them, I'm okay with that. Long as the youth give me my ordinary cut and fair share of what you slide to them. No. First, we want to take care of their teen camp fund. So if you need one on that Saturday, say you want to take one of the girls to get their fingernails done with you because your husband doesn't want to go get his nails done with you, then you rent them and go get your nails done together, and then you donate there to that Saturday, okay? The 29th, you'll notice on the 29th, final presentation for Discovery Club. May 29th, that's the last day before we take a break for the summer. And then the movie night has been changed. So if you make a change there, that is not going to be a movie night. It's going to be another softball night. Cookout softball, hamburger hot dog. So please mark that on the 31st. That will be softball that night. All right. Any questions? Yes, ma'am. Oh, I skipped the nursing home, the 19th. We had to move it up. Y'all see that? I've skipped right past it. The 19th is nursing home ministry. So, preacher, why do you put these things out every month? Well, so you can look and see what you can prioritize and get your life involved in. So you'll know what's going on, and so you can kind of look at something. Well, I can't make everything. Well, we understand you can't make everything. If you can make everything, then you would. But you can look at it and say, wow, boy, I think I can make that visitation on 6:45, that 16th. I'll be there. And you just, hey, it's done. Then what happens? You guard it. You say, nothing is taking place there. You put a guard, a fence around it. You protect that. And that's what happens. So you look at that, and, you know, nursing home. We understand sometimes you have family that come in and you can't make it every month. But, you know, we put it out so you can kind of arrange, because I'm going to tell you, it's a blessing going over to nursing home, seeing those fine saints of God, and they're singing along with you, and then you get to encourage them and they encourage you. Any more questions? Yes, sir, Brother Carl. Who? Printing press. Sorry. 28th. Thank you, Brother Carl. Printing press, 28th. Work night, 6:30. Okay, I am very sorry about that. Then softball on 31st. I saw another hand. Ma'am? Okay, thank you. Thank you. I apologize, honey. I okayed it and said everything was okay. And like normal, everything wasn't okay. If it was not, if it was something different, then we would, you might be a little worried. So you expect it every month there, but that's okay. We all are alive and breathing. All right. I think that covers everything. Everybody's okay now. All right. Got that. Miss Jenny said they're moving down to the out of their home, and they're moving to another location, and they have some items that they need to get rid of. So if you're interested in any household items, see Miss Jenny after church, if you wouldn't mind, over there. She'll tell you whatever things she's got, okay? Genesis chapter number 50, verse number 20. Genesis chapter number 50 and verse number 20. It's good to have visitors here tonight. We thank you for being with us and being patient with us while we go over the monthly calendar. We try to do that at the end of the month, of last service of every month, that before we move into the next month, so we can get that worked out. The new monthly devotions are over here. There's some more tracts over here. Don't forget our reading material in the corners back over here. Take some. Read it. Pass it on. You know, use it for your edification, then pass it on to somebody else. Don't just throw it away. Good reading materials back here on both corners. A lot of different topics back there that can be covered. Genesis chapter 50 and verse number 20, the Bible says there, "But as for you, you thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." Now, listen, what we face in life, dear friend, is just simply out of our control. But who we face it with is not out of our control. We have some say-so on what we face things with. Now, I can't tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. Listen, life is going to happen. Ask Brother Brother Venters last week. He was sitting there minding his own business, and some lady decided she wanted to go in front of him, but went through him right in the backside of his truck. Listen, it just happened. It's out of our control. Those things are out of our control. But while Brother Scott was in that truck, dear friend, who was in the truck with him was not out of his control. You say, "Preacher, that's kind of spooky." Oh, no. God is part of our life if we're saved. I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. He lives within me. How do I know He's alive? Because He lives within me. You know, I can make choices day by day in what I'm going to do with who I'm going to do it with. Now, when things come, listen. Nobody asked Joseph anything about his life. It just happened. Joseph's life. And we're going to start a series tonight on the life of Joseph. And we're going to look at it. Now, listen. God has the ability to emphasize whatever He chooses in Scripture. You think about something like this. Think about the universe. The universe, you know, we're so close to NASA over here, and I hate the thing that, you know, NASA has lost jobs over there, you know, and all that. But we're here near all that space center stuff and the study of the stars and planets and the universe. And I don't know about you. If you ever stepped out at night when it's real dark outside, I mean, it is massive. The universe is an amazing thing. But I want you to look over in Genesis chapter 1, verse 16, and see how God summed up after He created the universe. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 16. This is how God just summed it up. In verse number 16 of Genesis chapter number 1, "And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night." With the sun and moon. God, look what He says about the universe. "He made the stars also." But that's how God looked at it. See, when we look at the universe, it's massive to us. Sometimes a broken fingernail to us is massive, isn't it? We go frantic. Hey, listen. God made all that in that day, and He said, look, the lesser light, the greater light, the ruling of the day, the ruler of the night, and the stars also. And we see a fallen star, say, "Oh, hey, look over there. Shh. Ah. What'd you just do? Made a wish. What'd you wish? Can't tell you. If I tell you, it won't come true." We make a big deal out of it. And God says, "Huh? I made the stars also." But then we get over into Genesis, and one quarter of the book of Genesis is talking about a man named Joseph who's not even in the lineage of Christ. It's not there. He's not in that line. Judah was. But if you look at his life, the perfect picture of Christ. When you look at the life of Joseph and lay it out and see how it is, it's like the perfect picture. Let's tell you something. There's an obvious, clear theme running throughout Joseph's life, dear friend. And it stands out to us as we study it over these next 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 Sunday evenings. I don't know how long, so I got about 10. And I think I'm going to try to get through 10, but I don't know if I'll make it in all 10. I may have to break some of them up. It is that God orchestrated the circumstances, the people, the events in Joseph's life in order to accomplish His intended purpose. It's all about God. All about God. Listen, if you look at the circumstances in Joseph's life as we study it, it looks like a total wreck. It's just amazing. But providentially, dear friend, it was all perfect. It was all perfect, dear friend. Today, as we begin this study and we begin to look at the life of Joseph, we're going to start off with his family in which Joseph was born in. And it certainly becomes very obvious as we study it that nobody asked Joseph what family he wanted to be born to. Nobody. Nobody said, hey, Joseph, you want to be born over there to Jacob? Not at all. He had no input in it whatsoever. And there's four groups in Joseph's life, four different relationships that we looked at that define Joseph's life. I wonder if these four relationships was in our life, how would it define us? First would be his parental relationship. His parental relationship. Second would be the relationship he had with Potiphar. Now, Potiphar did buy him as a slave. But he had a good relationship with him, didn't he? Then think about the relationship he built with those prisoners. Hey, by then, you and I would probably be pretty sour at what's going on with life. Not Joseph. He just built relationships with those prisoners. And then, after being left in jail there for all that time, he was released by providence, not by chance, and he had a relationship with Pharaoh. I wonder if these here four relationships was in our life. How would we determine and be defined? Brother Victor, thank you, sir. Joseph's family, if you'd let me say this and let me be okay, Joseph's family, we could say, was functioning, but very, very, very dysfunctional. It was a functioning family, but dysfunctional. Let's start off with Joseph's parents. I guarantee you they wouldn't have been your first choice. They wouldn't have been mine. What I know about them? Jacob, his father. Jacob's name, it literally means supplanter. That's a term like to trip up. It's the trip up. It was like a trickster. And I'm going to tell you something. He tripped up his brother in the matter of the birthright. And he stole the blessings from his father that rightly belonged to Esau. He wouldn't have chosen. Listen, Jacob didn't know. He did know about God. But the Bible says that Jacob found God at Bethel. Now, Bethel's the house of God. That's what Bethel means. And for years, listen, Jacob lived a carnal life. Jacob was very carnal. We're talking about Joseph's father now. He was very carnal. He was worldly. Listen, but the Bible records that when Joseph was born, that something was stirred up inside of Jacob that made him desire to go back to his country. Look over in Genesis chapter number 30 and verse number 25. Genesis chapter number 30 and verse number 25. Genesis chapter 30 and verse number 25, the Bible says here, "And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away that I may go into my own place and to my own country." So that's Jacob. That's the father. Then you have his mother. Now she was favored in the home. She was the favorite of many wives. She was the favorite of many of us. Listen, her own sister Leah was first given to Jacob. And he was given to Jacob. And he tolerated Leah. Jacob tolerated her for one reason. She was bringing forth children. She was bringing forth children. That was Joseph's mother was Rachel. And listen, Rachel got all excited and she tried to attempt to gain the favor or try to take away the favor that Joseph showed toward Leah, and she come up and concoct this here cockamanian idea that she would give her handmaid Bilhah over to Joseph. Well, Joseph, listen, Leah wasn't going to be outdone. No way. So all of a sudden, now Leah later on gives Zilpha. So here you got this, we're talking about a functional, dysfunctional type family. See, nobody asked Joseph, hey, you think Jacob be the model father? Hey, Joseph, hey, would you like to have the model mother, Rachel, who would give her handmaid over to her husband? No, no, nobody asked all that. Listen, nobody at all. Then you think about Joseph's siblings. To begin, let's understand, Joseph had 10 brothers that hated him. 10 brothers that literally could not stand him. And it was all brought about because of jealousy, because the mother, Rachel, favored and babied and pampered in their eyes. Okay, Benjamin, he liked him. He did. He liked him. But listen, there was envy and jealousy all in this home. All in this home. There's one thing that you'll recognize, dear friend, about a home. Children find stability when the husband, listen, when he does his part toward the wife, the mother of those children. They find stability. They find it there. Listen, the husband shows this by giving time to the wife and his attention to his wife, and his words are seasoned with grace and love toward the wife, and they find stability. Children find stability. Hey, they looked around and they saw jealousy. They saw envy. They saw all this, and this was it was driving things crazy. Think about the firstborn, Reuben. Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, Joseph's older brother. He was born to Leah. And his birth, because he was the firstborn. Listen, it was an exciting thing. You know, the Bible says this, when Leah said, when the child was born, Leah proclaimed, the Bible claims that it says this, Leah said, "Look, a son." Hey, it was important back then. In a patriarchal type situation, it was the firstborn son. Listen, it was his pride and joy. Reuben was lined up to get a double portion of all the materialistic inheritance because of being firstborn. Wow. Kind of reminds you of somebody, huh? His uncle Esau was firstborn too, right? His uncle Esau was firstborn. What did his uncle Esau do? He squandered away his birthright. He did. I'm going to tell you something. All sin in the Bible is condemned. All sin. But there are sins, dear friend, that bear and carry more consequences than others. Humanly speaking. Humanly speaking. You take, for instance, the sin of adultery. However, that does not... Listen, when you look at it, lying is sin, adultery is sin. But adultery carries great consequences. You look at the great Bible, a classic example of David. You look at David's life. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. What consequence he has? His child died, the little baby died. His own son Ammon committed incest with his daughter. Listen, it started. Listen, it goes on. David's son Absalom. What did he do? Rose up in rebellion. Now, you remember, I mentioned this the other day, and I begin to think about this a little more. I told you all that quote I heard down there at the men's advancement, how that the sins that a father practices in private, his sons will practice in public and open. And I begin to think about that, Brother Victor, and I begin to look at that. Where did Absalom take them wives? Up onto the rooftop. Where David spy out Bathsheba? I begin to wonder if it was not even the same rooftop. I don't know. I can't biblically say it was the rooftop, but it was a rooftop, and that's where David was at. When he should have been off at war, he spied off out there and he saw Bathsheba. And Absalom's son in rebellion took his wives up there upon that rooftop. Open. Publicly, for all to see. For all to see. Listen, it don't end there. When Absalom was done, he was crushed. He was put to death. Remember Joab? Spears him through, hanging there by the hair on his head, through the donkey, kept the mule walked on. You know? Listen, you don't think it crushed David? You don't think it tore David? You know what he said? Would to God it would have been me that died, Absalom. Would to God. It crushed him. See, it keeps going. Hey, it didn't end there either. It did not. Listen, one of David's other sons, Adonijah, rebelled, and this rebellion was led by one of David's most closest allies, Joab. It just kept going. This is the consequence. This is the consequence. Well, Rachel died. Jacob went to bury her. While Jacob went to bury her, old Reuben decided to go into Jacob's concubine, Bilhah. Went up into the couch and committed fornication with Jacob's concubine. Go over to Genesis chapter number 35. Genesis chapter 35, verse number 19. At this difficult time in the hour of Jacob and his life, whenever death had occurred to one that he loved, naturally he maybe, possibly would have went back to Bilhah to find comfort. Listen, I'm not condoning all this here multiple wives stuff. This is a biblical story that happened and had great consequences in it. Verse number 19 of chapter number 35. And Rachel died, and was buried in the way of Ephrathah, which is Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave, that is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. And Israel journeyed and spread his tent beyond the Tower of Eder. And it came to pass when Israel went in that land that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine. And Israel heard it. Now the sons of Jacob were 12. Listen, it was an embarrassing thing. All the camp of Israel heard it. It was spread abroad. Listen, Jacob was faltering. He was needing comfort. He was alone. And now his own son, the first. We're talking about Joseph's brother now. Joseph's brother. It came to pass when Israel dwelt in the land, it said, verse 22, that Reuben went in and lay with Bilhah. I'm telling you, the sin seems to be dismissed. It seems though, as you look at Scripture, that right there, that's all that happens. It's all that's said. That is kind of just there. But I'm going to tell you something, dear friend. Later on in life, go over to chapter number 49. Chapter number 49. And Jacob's on his deathbed. We're talking about the family of Joseph. Come on, Joseph wasn't asked. Not at all. Hey, Joseph, who you want to be born to? No, he had no input whatsoever. Chapter 49, verse number 1. Jacob's on his deathbed, so he calls all of his sons in. He brings them there in verse number 1. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Verse 3. You remember back there where we read and he went in and nothing else. You go through Scripture, nothing else said. And listen to this. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might and my beginning of my strength, the excellence of dignity and the excellence of power. Oh, Reuben's thinking, here comes the double blessing. Oh, here comes the blessing of my father. Look at the praise that he is bestowing upon me. Keep on reading, dear friend. Verse 4, unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. Why? Because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it. He went up to my couch. Oh, he thought it was gone. There's a scripture in the Bible that said, be sure your sin will find you out. Oh, the axe didn't fall when he first went in. Jacob bore the pain for years to come. Then when it was time to bless the family, he gathered them in and the shame was reported. Hey, it carried great consequences. That's his firstborn. That's his eldest brother. We're talking about Joseph now. That's his eldest brother. You know, Dan was referred to as a serpent. Naphtali was called a wild deer that was, if he was let loose, you could not control him. Talking about the siblings of Joseph. Simeon and Levi were labeled as simply cruel men. Simply cruel. They brutally slew all the males in a village and took the women and children as servants. Think about his sister, Dana. Dana, out of curiosity, began to wonder. Began to dev off into the other cultures. Had to have her eyes open. Had to kind of see what was out there on the other side. And was led off into an immoral situation, a relationship that should have never been. Think about Judah. Judah is actually the one that worked out the circumstances so that instead of killing Joseph, he would be sold. He would be sold. But later on in Judah's life, he did not treat his daughter-in-law right. Ended up treating her like a harlot. That's siblings. We looked at his father. We looked at his mother. We looked at his brothers. What about other relatives? Think about Esau, his uncle. Esau, his uncle, was a godless man. He sold his birthright for a bowl of pottage. Think about his grandpa, Laban. For the most part, as you look at Scripture and look at it, Laban was a scoundrel, dear friend. I mean, it was all about gain, money, and what he could get. I can almost hear Laban as he's sitting there on the side of the tree stump there, and here comes a little Joseph by, his little grandson come by and say, "Hey, Dad, hey, Grandpa, what's that over there?" He said, "That's my shrine where I've got my idols. Those are my gods." This is Grandpa. Nobody asked Joseph what kind of grandpa he'd want. None whatsoever. Listen, circumstances, dear friend, are God's means of conforming you and I. But Satan will take them same circumstances and he'll destroy you if you'll let him. I'm just going to be honest with you. Joseph didn't have a chance according to society. You look at society now and they tell us, this child, that child has no chance because, you know, this happened, that happened. Look at his mama, look at his daddy, look at his cousin, look at the neighborhood where he grew up, look at grandpa, look where he's from. They have no chance. Well, I don't know about you. My family lineage looks pretty bad when I look at it, but I don't think it even lines up near with what Joseph's family went through. Listen, dear friend, we need to ask ourselves this question. Who's using my circumstances? Is it God or is it Satan? Because God wants to conform you. Satan wants to destroy you. You got scripture for that? Yeah, the thief cometh to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Who's using your circumstances? See, life's going to happen. Young people, bad things happen in life. Grandparents, bad things happen. Parents, bad things happen in life. They do. Who's going to control the circumstance? Who are you going to yield yourself to? You be like Joseph? I'm telling you, look around. With his family relationship, it wasn't going too well, was it? 10 brothers hated him. Didn't care a thing for him. He looked in there and he saw in his father's house there was jealousy and envy and strife. Oh, preacher, there ain't no strife in there. You crazy? You ever heard the saying, two cooks in the kitchen don't go really well? What is that saying? How does it go? Two cooks, they don't operate. You know what I'm saying? Two women in the kitchen can't get along. I'm trying to be nice here. You're talking Four women trying to cook cathead biscuits? Oh, Lord, ain't no way. It was ugly, dear friend. I'm just telling you. These folks that want to run here and have 4, 5, 10, 11 wives, they can have them. I've got one and I'm happy and that's what I'm going to stay with. She's almost got me house trained. After 26 years, we about there. Listen, trusting God with our circumstances means that there is no yeah buts. Tony, you know what a yeah but is? A yeah but is saying, God, I know you're in control. But why did my family and my mom and dad get a divorce? Yeah, God, you are in control. God, you're in control. But why did this happen in my childhood? Yeah, God, I know that you're in control, but why did I unjustly lose my job? But God, why is my spouse destroying my family? But whatever. God, dear friend, will take those circumstances in your life and He will make something great out of you if you'll yield to Him. Trusting God with our circumstances, dear friend, removes us from God's throne. When I say, God, I can't control this. I can't. I'm going to have to let you handle it. We step off of His throne, His rightful place, and He begins to work in a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful way. Look over at Genesis chapter 50, verse number 19. Genesis chapter 50 and verse number 19. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God. Joseph knew there was things that he was never consulted about. It wasn't like he come walking through the, or riding on the mule or donkey, however he arrived and got over there and there. Hey, look at, here he comes. Look at that coat of many colors. Look at him. They didn't stop and say, hey, Joseph, listen. Would it be okay with you if we kill you? Well, no, that ain't going to work. Joseph, you think it'd be okay with you if we was to put you down this hole and sell you? How about this? When he's sold and he's over there and Potiphar's got him working, hey, Joseph, would it be all right with you if we just leave you here with his wife so she can try to take advantage of you? Would it be all right, Joseph, if we did that? They didn't ask him. When he got cast into prison, you know, hey, Joseph, would it be all right if we cast you into prison? Never consulted. Never consulted. But understood that, hey, you meant it for evil. The circumstances around me I cannot control. I have a God who's in heaven and He is with me. And I'm telling you, His family, His circumstances, all the injustice that went on in his life were all used by God for God's glory and for God's honor. Let's go over to Job and we're going to close this evening. Job chapter number 40. Job chapter number 40, verse number 1. Job chapter 40 and verse number 1. We're going to read all the way down to verse 14, so bear with me a little bit. Job chapter 40 and verse number 1. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, Shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? You're going to teach God? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. Verse 6. Then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, Gird up thy loins now like a man. I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. Wilt thou also disannul my judgment? Wilt thou condemn me that thou mayest be righteous? Hast thou an arm like God? Or canst thou thunder with a voice like him? Verse 10. Deck thyself now with majesty and excellency and array thyself with glory and beauty. Verse 11. Cast abroad the rage of thy wrath, and behold, every one that is proud, and abase him. Look on every one that is proud, and bring him low, and tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together, and bind their faces in secret. Verse 14. Then will I also confess unto thee that thine own right hand can save thee. God said, okay, Job, do whatever you please. And when you can do this, I will say to you, you're okay, you don't need me. But dear friend, I'm going to tell you, none of us can do all that I just read. We need God. Just like Job needed God. Listen, instead of just constantly and always asking, what in the world, why are you letting this happen to me? Why don't we just understand some central truths? That God was in control of Joseph's situation and not Joseph. And God's in control of your situation and not you. And if we can understand that, we grasp, we understand, hey, we will be just like it says in Job. He knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Joseph is about to enter the refiner's fire. Dear friend, when we get done and come out of the refiner's fire, we will be what God desires for us to be, just like Joseph was, or we can be destroyed by Satan and looking at the circumstances, why me, why me, why me, instead of letting God work through us and in us and through that circumstances that God may get the glory, like it said over there, in the text verse, you meant it for evil, but God took it and he made good out of it. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed, pianist is coming. I don't know what circumstances are in your life. I don't know where you stand in the troubles that are you, whatever storm you're entering in or you're in, it may have been washed you over. You may be sinking down. But I do know this. Just like when Peter walked on that water and he was sinking, he looked up and with faith he said, Lord, save me. And the Lord saved him immediately, put him on out. He didn't let him suck up 6 gallons of water. He didn't let him get down there until he had to do CPR on him. He pulled him right on up. And I'm going to tell you, the Lord will reach down and save you and pull you up out of that. He'll put your feet on some solid ground if you'll let him control your circumstances.